B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
Sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This. Look who's back in studio. I haven't seen you since what, March?
March.
Okay, this is different.
Here we are.
Yeah, these things.
The world is very different from the studio we left in March. Look at that glass. That just went in. You can hear it on the radio. You can see it on our simulcast. Yeah. That just went in 10 seconds ago.
That's pretty nice. It's really nice.
It's actually much nicer than I thought it would be.
It is. It's classy.
That's not cheap, man.
I want this for my shower. This is nice. Got that thin glass on my shower.
That's very nice. Look at the base on that.
What the hell's McCone doing over there? This is weird.
Well, that's
this is where they put me now.
Yeah. It's like Pee Wee Herman's playhouse.
He's in the bin of takes over there. That's where he is. I thought the glass would be a little strange, but I don't think it's that bad.
No, I think it's good. And I think it's going to get us back to somewhat normalcy here within the studio. It's great.
Yeah.
I think it's going
to
work out.
I think we're used to looking through glass anyway. Look at Jim through the glass. You know, so glass is not a deterrent to us in radio, but it's pretty nice.
Yep.
Nice work.
You play that, Melissa.
Man, nice work.
Melissa Etheridge. Come through my window.
Boy.
Yeah, come through my window.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Oh, good to see you, Zoe.
It's good to be in. I almost forgot how to drive here. I mean, it's weird. I came in one day a couple weeks ago because I had to do something.
Right.
But Quincy after the show.
That was like a month ago now.
Yeah, but I mean, it's back to normal patterns. And hopefully as we ease back into this, we're getting somewhat back to normal here. Maybe. But maybe not with what's going on with the Florida Marlins.
All right, so Beadle and Zoe back together in studio at our Town Fair Tire Studios. Hardy's out this week. We got McCone today.
Yeah, and Hardy needs to get away a little bit. He's been grinding. Grinded for a while.
I would agree with that.
Before he loses his mind.
I would say it was an appropriate time for my good friend Hardy to take a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, I know his emotions. You know, I could sort of sense when something's
not right. You guys feel each other.
Yeah,
right?
we have sort of a connection.
You're so much alike. It's like you guys are the same person. That's what you guys said.
He needed a break.
Yeah.
He needed a break.
Yeah.
Mentally, physically, he needed it.
Yeah.
So Hardy out today, McConan. You mentioned the Marlins. There's a COVID problem in baseball that is developing. Fast developing story this morning.
Okay. So I know you guys talked to Bruce Arena the other day. We talk about the Revs a little bit, but they're one of the five sports, right? They're kind of a distant from the big four. Soccer. Wouldn't you say that baseball of the big four is the least contact sport out of any of them?
Right. For the most part, you stay away from each other.
It's natural spacing. I mean, they've built ramps up into the ballpark to where you could go spread out, where you're not sitting next to anybody, even when you're not playing the game. The pitchers in the bullpen, they could spread out in the bleachers.
Exactly 1 hour ago, Jeff Passan had a tweet about the number of Marlins who have tested positive. Let's actually hear from Jeff Passan of ESPN.
The number of positive cases among Miami Marlins players is now up to 12. Two coaches, sources have told me, and Jesse Rogers are also positive for COVID-19. This is the sort of outbreak that baseball was afraid of. And what happens now is anyone's best guess. Their game, their home opener against the Baltimore Orioles, has been canceled. And the further fallout today and in the coming days is going to be awfully interesting to see really the viability of the 2020 Major League Baseball season and how baseball, or if baseball, continues to be played.
Can I give you a quote from Don Mattingly 3 weeks ago?
Sure.
It was published on July 7th. Don Mattingly, manager of the Marlins, said, quote, "Guys are 23, 24, they're young. They're in a sense bulletproof. But if we're going to run around at night and do whatever we want to do, we're going to put everybody's family at risk."
Are they bulletproof? I mean, look at Eduardo Rodriguez, right? Are you really bulletproof as a young guy? Because we all know that, okay, maybe you're asymptomatic, or maybe you're not carrying, you don't even know you're carrying this disease. But what you're starting to learn as you acquire the disease is the problems that you get after it. I know somebody that had it, and the headaches are real. They still don't fill up to normal, and this is months past when they tested negative for it, when it was out of their system. So that's the issue. And first thing I thought here when I heard this, it's not about baseball, not even about basketball. For me, it takes me right to football. And the NFLPA and Troy Vincent and those guys and what they tried to do with DeMaurice Smith and the Players Association and the league and the owners, they're sitting there looking at this saying, Jesus H. Christ, how the hell are we going to keep this out? We're not bubbleized.
So
we're not. We're contact sport. We're going to camp this week.
They've got this pool of players
in
baseball, 60 people in the
pool.
I saw
that, yeah.
So everyone will naturally say, well, go to the pool. This is what you have it for.
Yeah.
Except they're 3 games in and they've already got 12 guys on one team with it. 3 games in. We're not 3 weeks in. We're 3 days in and 12 guys have it.
Not good.
Not a good look. Not a good look at all. You mentioned Eduardo Rodriguez. He, over the weekend, revealed that he has myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart, which is many times caused by a virus. That is apparently not life-threatening for him. I don't think he's fearing losing his life over it, but that's not something you want to play around with.
No.
I bet he's done for the year. He said yesterday he thinks he's coming back. He said, I expect to be back this year in 2020. Yeah, there's only 60 games.
They feel like a team in contention.
Less than 60 now. No, they're not.
Okay.
And
we'll get to the other pitchers on his staff.
The team's not going to want to take the risk.
No, and I'm saying, like, in any other year, you would say, okay, let's push through this. But, like, this is the year you tap out if you have an issue. And I don't think anybody would break your balls over it.
What are you sitting here? I don't think so.
You know what? They're a young athlete with the enlarged heart based on complications from COVID. Yeah, why don't you push through it?
But, again,
we need you.
If you're just looking at, like, the, you know, the WebMD or the Mayo Clinic website, it says that it's caused by a viral infection, a severe case, which he apparently does not have. They've said it's not severe. But a severe case can weaken the heart, which can lead to heart failure, abnormal heartbeat, and sudden death.
You ever read on stuff like meningitis and the swelling and stuff that goes on in your brain, your spine, your spinal cord, your
terrible
heart, your veins, everything? Yeah. Yeah, we don't know what we're dealing with here.
You really don't.
No. And to have him that gassed and to be spent, what do you throw, 30 pitches?
20. I don't even think he got to 25.
I thought he got to 30. But still, just to be gassed, I feel like I don't have anything. Like, that's scary. That is scary. You know, think about the time that they have. It's not like you're running sprints. And that's what, you know, seeing an NBA guy gets it. You get in these games, and you're talking about cardio, and you're going up and down, and it's nonstop action. Baseball, you at least, you got 30, 35 seconds in between pitches.
So the question now becomes, do the Marlins just take another 10 guys and put them on the roster from the pool of players, minor leaguers, fringe major league
guys? I mean,
guys?
You're at this point. I think, yes, you have to attempt to keep this going. You just can't shut the league down. I think you have to exhaust all those avenues. And then you're going to get to a point where you don't have players, and that's when you shut it down.
Yeah, there are at least one Cincinnati Red who has it. And that would be Matt Davidson. Mike Moustakas was placed on the injured list after he felt ill yesterday. Nick Senzel was also scratched from the lineup with no reason given yesterday. I don't know if there's any update on that yet. But that led to the Tigers manager, Ron Gardenhier, not a young man, coming out and saying, I'm a little concerned about this now. Now that we have a series with the Reds coming up, and we know that the Reds have it going through their team. And so there are players who have concerns about going to Cincinnati, where there are now issues with the Reds. So the Reds have it. The Marlins have it. There's just a number of teams that are dealing with COVID already 1 weekend into the season.
Did you mention the Braves or no?
I didn't even get to the Braves. Multiple players with the Braves. What's that number at now?
It was a couple have, at least two have symptoms. They played the Marlins in the exhibition games last Tuesday.
Wait a minute. Toronto's where? Toronto's in Pittsburgh?
Toronto is not in Pittsburgh.
They're in Baltimore.
Toronto is in Buffalo.
Buffalo. Oh, that's right. That's right. They're dealing with the lighting there.
Right.
It was originally Pittsburgh, then it went to Baltimore, and then that's right. They settled on Buffalo.
Yeah, so wait.
Because I'm trying to think, because Cincinnati and Cleveland, like, you're 2.5 hours from Pittsburgh. Like, this isn't like, okay, that's a hot spot. And, hey, feel safe being in Pittsburgh 2.5 hours away. Everything's okay there.
So you just heard what Jim said. Marlins and Braves played each other last week in an exhibition.
Oh, there you go.
And the Marlins have 12 people on their staff, 12 people between players and coaches. And now the Braves have at least two guys showing symptoms.
And what's that require? Grace period to quarantine? 14 days?
Yeah.
14?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have testing. So they have testing every 48 hours. So they'll know.
Jesus.
I imagine the hotel in Philly's got to be shut down too, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So I think what we're seeing here after three games over the weekend, this has the ability to quickly spiral out of control and just ruin the whole season. Where they get to a point where if this happens, if you have 12 people between coaches and players, and I'm guessing that number is going to get a little bigger. If you got 12 guys on one team,
right,
and all of a sudden there's 10 teams with that, how do you even function? What do you do? You're going to just have AAA baseball? Is that what you're going to do? At what cost?
Right.
I mean, at what cost are you going to do that?
TV's just mentioned, hey, the Yankees go there today.
Oh, great.
Supposed to play there tonight.
What are we supposed to do as Red Sox fans? Root for COVID?
Same same clubhouse.
Red Sox,
same.
This is twisted.
Red Sox, you got the backing away with the Mets coming up. Yankees are on the rise, and plus you got to go down and play in Florida, like, next week.
Yeah, not a great place to go right now.
No.
Nope. Not a great place.
I wouldn't want to play an away game right now.
7 minutes ago, Yankees-Phillies series still on.
Jesus.
For now.
Who said that? Who's reporting that?
NBC Sports Chicago.
So people are already asking those questions if series are going to continue to happen. Oof. We might see this season fall apart before it even really got going.
And that's baseball. Baseball.
That's baseball where they're not up against each other. You know, they do stand next to each other at first or at the plate. I mean, you're naturally next to the catcher.
When did Mass
Rangers? You've got more opportunities to space yourself in that sport than any other.
When did Mass Rangers
tweet, by the way?
Heyman tweet.
It says their visiting clubhouse is being fumigated, quote, 50 different ways.
I don't think it's fumigated.
And it hasn't been canceled
yet. I don't think it's for a smell that they're trying to get rid of.
I think it's funny. You know, 4 weeks ago, I think Maz wrote the article.
Electrostatic cleansing.
Yeah. Maz wrote that article about, you know, yeah, as much as we don't like baseball, how irritated we are about how they approached the restart, now they dropped the ball, that it's the one sport that probably has the best chance to survive out of any of them, and they've got the problem.
But they don't have a bubble. We didn't say that.
NFL, Maz wrote that. Yeah, I know that.
But you and I talked about this a few weeks back, and what did we say? We said hockey, basketball, and then baseball because they don't have a bubble.
Right.
Speaking of baseball, I watched the game on Friday night.
I did too.
It was great. It was great to have baseball
Some
back.
Action. It felt good.
It was all downhill from Friday night, though.
I didn't watch
it. Friday night was great. It went all downhill from there.
I'll try to be better.
I watched every pitch of Friday night's game. I watched nearly every pitch of Saturday's day game, believe it or not. It was so damn hot. Everybody was indoors that day. And, after that, I still.
Well, things are going to get better this
yesterday
week.
Was a skimming of the DVR. Yeah. There wasn't as much attention paid to yesterday, but it went downhill from Friday. We'll talk about the Red Sox weekend and the issues they have in their pitching staff. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Come to my window. Crawl inside, wait by the light of the moon. Come to my window. I'll be home soon.
More glass installed during the break.
Love windows.
I don't know if you can see it, but multiple panes of glass between us now.
McCone, when you drive your Jetta, when you drive your Jetta up from Rhode Island, this song comes on. You don't turn it off, do you?
This is a great song.
It's a great song. It really is.
I don't care if you can't see it. You can't hear it. That's the most important thing.
Oh, no, you can't hear it at all.
It's not like being at the Garden Studios.
No, there's no echo.
Oh, my God. That Garden Studio was awful.
Someone raised the echo issue when this was being discussed. I'm like, I don't think that's going
to
be an issue.
You would have to be boxed in to have
that. It's not like a big open box.
Pleased to meet you.
Yes.
I can do this now. I couldn't do it on delay. Oh, wait till next week. We have to get hardy and we'll do some roll it to changes. Oh, there's changes. What do you think she's asking her friend to do, McCullen?
We're gonna do this again. We've done this too many times already.
Ever listen to the lyrics, McCullen, and do some background searches?
I haven't.
Background
I haven't.
Study the artist a little bit.
Yeah, a little background.
A little lawn care. See, Jimmy Stewart had his. He was bitching about lawn care the other day, 5:30 on a Saturday morning. Blowers were out. Where's he live? Newton?
No.
Jason?
No, he's further west.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's out in the burbs, man. Let's get into the Red Sox weekend. I watched the game on Friday.
Oh, you were better, yeah.
I was very much better.
I did too. I watched it pretty much entire game.
I watched the entire game. I stuck it out to watch that entire thing, although after a few innings, it was not in doubt. Red Sox crushed the Orioles on Friday night. Nathan Eovaldi got the start Friday night, and Nathan Eovaldi has to win every single start he has this year for the Red Sox to have any chance whatsoever. That's my conclusion. They can't, and I don't mean this, you know, jokingly.
Yeah.
They can't afford to not win the games that he pitches. And that doesn't necessarily mean he gets a win. I'm saying when he pitches, they cannot afford to lose those games.
No, and it sucks. You've pretty much got to theoretically think to keep games under five, right? We got to keep it down around four, somewhere in five, because this lineup will hit. And I think that was the fun thing about Friday night. And one of the reasons I watched was to see the rhythm of the lineup and see these guys. And, you know, they're going to miss Mookie. It wasn't even about Mookie, and it's not about Mookie right now. But when you're not going to sign that type of player to that type of deal and you're not going to spend, but you did spend on pitching, but you got guys hurt all over the place. So what is it? And I put that tweet out. Boy, if this team could just find a way to put some pitching together, and you had to,
I busted your balls off that because I'm like,
I know he's good.
Dude, it's the only good game you're going to see.
I know
he's
good.
Can we not do that yet?
I know he's good, but. And then you start looking at name. I never heard of some guys pitching. I haven't heard of their pitching for the Red Sox. This isn't Tampa.
They cannot afford to lose games with Nathan Eovaldi on the mound. I'm sorry, they can't. Because I know that, you know, Jim Murray has joked over the years about the gutless wheel of bums. Or the wheel of gutless bums.
Oh, it's way worse. And it's not even, they don't even deserve to be on the wheel.
That's now infected the starting rotation. Perez should be better, though. Let me just state that. There's hope there. There's some opportunity there. There's more of a ceiling there than what you saw.
See, I've heard that, but then I hear people that the watch base will say, have you seen him pitch for the last 2 years?
There's a problem. When he's on, he pitches really well. When he's not, you get what you got on Saturday.
Yeah.
Which was, again, Red Sox lose on Saturday. They lose on Sunday. But Friday night was good. Do we want to focus on Friday? Here's the other thing I keep hearing, by the way, is that it's a big issue that the Red Sox have dropped 2 of 3 because there's only 60 games. That, to me, is a giant overreaction from the weekend. I've heard that in multiple places since yesterday's game.
After 2 days of baseball, there were only 3 undefeated teams.
So you're on pace
there
for
20 and 40. There were only 3 2-0 teams
here.
After like, 2 days of baseball. Everyone had a loss.
Right. Every game is worth 2.7 games, right? That's been sort of said many times now as well.
Which does make games important.
I get it. But let's not. Here's what my concern would be. They lost 2 of 3 to the Orioles, who also suck. And if you're just looking at how good is this Red Sox team, early impression is, they're supposed to be able to beat up on bad teams. And you saw a little bit of that on Saturday when they started to get to the bullpen against Baltimore. You thought maybe they'd have a chance late because, maybe you come around late in the game and you have a big comeback because you can hit. But my bigger concern is they lost 2 to the Orioles. Not that they lost 2 of 3. We can't get too caught up in the math. It's 3 games. Chill. I know it's a 60-game season.
Yeah.
I know that each game is more important than they would normally be. But let's not get totally caught up in the fact that it's 2 of 3.
Well, you sat the superstar shortstop game number 2.
What was with that?
That's the biggest problem I have from the weekend is, okay, I understand it's night day, but you haven't played baseball in how long? You're back. It's a 60-game season to what you just said. It's 2.79 per game.
He pinch hit in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
He came into the game.
Right.
So he wasn't unavailable.
Right.
So why would I don't know.
He's overthinking it early. It's way too early to be thinking it this way. So, I mean, if this is going to be a way it's going to go, it's going to turn to hell real quick here. You're talking 2-3 weeks, and then boom, tune out.
Christian Vasquez and Bogaerts were both out of the lineup on Saturday.
That's got to be a Bloom thing, right? Alex Cobb against those guys.
So he's going to call the shots that early then?
They put him in the game after Cobb left. Is that the... I don't know. It's got to be a Bloom thing.
Here's a quote from Renicky. We have plans in place because of the day game after the night game. Even though we know how important it is to get off to a good start, and we want to put our guys out there, our starters as much as we can, we realize that if we don't do this right away, we have a chance to get somebody fatigued or possibly an injury.
It's this collective group thing then, right?
Fatigued.
It's not I sat the
It's
guy.
The second game.
Right.
You're worried about fatigue after two games?
Well, he already got his directive then. That's what it's telling you. And Jim's right. This could be a Bloom thing where it's this collective leadership group where we're going to have and we're all going to talk.
It could
and
be.
We're all going to have input. Everybody's going to have input.
Does Bloom get a pass if this team ends up not being good?
No.
Because when you are one of these small market guys that is always capable of doing more with less, I hope they're able to do a little more with less this year. The pitching staff, so far, again, Perez, I think, could be better. So that could end up making him look good.
Buckholz is out there. Go get him.
Oh, my God.
Please pick him up. Please, Jesus.
You got to give him a pass. This is kind of the reset year for the GM, right?
All right.
It's the reset
year. All right,
year,
I'm just
it?
Asking. I mean, I don't typically give anyone a free pass.
Of all years to have a reset year, this is probably the perfect time to do it, though, no?
What do you think, like a culture clean or like a
No, I'm going to get my guys in eventually, right. But I can't get them all in at once.
Yeah.
So it was a disappointing Saturday, Sunday, but the Red Sox proved on Friday they can hit. Here's my one concern from Nathan Eovaldi on Friday night. How did you think Nathan Eovaldi looked on Friday?
Really good.
I thought he was okay. For a guy who throws 100 miles an hour, he didn't exactly get the swings and misses that I was hoping for.
Strikeout was in the fifth, right?
A lot of contact being made, even on the high velocity pitches from Mr. Eovaldi. Was the fifth inning the first K that he had?
I thought his first strikeout was in the fifth, or was it his first swing and miss in the fifth? It's got to be the strikeout.
Okay, but he was not getting swings and misses. That concerned me a little bit. We'll keep an eye on that, but he was fine. He's clearly their best pitcher. They cannot afford to lose games with him on the mound. That has to be the case. You can't lose. You can't lose that. I thought if we're going to come up with Ron Renicky second guesses, the lineup on Saturday, there was also... we can't get to bullpen stuff yet because in each of the three games, the bullpen wasn't important. So we can't get to those decisions yet. He did not review a play at first base on Friday night. I think in the fourth inning it was when there was one on, one out, and Chavis appeared to get the guy at first. He got him with the tag, and then they got out of it, I think, with a double play. So it didn't matter. But I thought there was a huge miss by not challenging the play. So those are my Ron Renicky second guesses because I think Ron Renicky's lost the job before the season even started.
And the sad part is, too,
Ron Renicky's not going to keep the job long term.
You're so used to the energy with Cora. Like, this guy has no energy.
He's very low key.
It's just very hippity, he's steady Eddie.
But that appeals to some guys.
Yeah.
Some players like that. The low key, steady, calming influence of Ron Renicky.
First 13 outs of the game were not by strikeout for Eovaldi. The 14th out was a strikeout.
Ooh.
Fifth inning.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem for a power pitcher like him.
Yeah, a little nitpicky right now, though.
What we're doing. Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what this team's going
to
be.
We might not have much longer to nitpick, so.
I know.
Right. We need this. We need to nitpick.
617-779-0985. Tom Caron went after Jim Murray on Saturday. That's what we were mocking.
He's a big Jim Murray fan, though.
That's what we were mocking at the start. Saying, maybe we should talk about that a little bit.
It's like almost saying, with all due respect, you know. Like, remember Ricky Bobby would say that to Mr. Dennett? Well, just because you say with all due respect, Ricky, doesn't mean it's not insulting.
I also know this. Zoe does a Tom Caron impression. He's done it on this show before.
Sure have. Dude, all those thrown over there. Our Hall of Famers Jim Rice here in studio with us. We come back. It's another ass kicking for the Red Sox here on postgame.
We'll get to it
next. Hit the ball, Falcon. Hit the ball, bang. BackstageCountry.com,
your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You probably think that you are better now, better now. You only say that because I'm not around.
Better.
617-779-0985. I was doing a little yard work on Saturday, so.
Yeah, I was at the pool when you start texting.
Cutting the grass. And I had my headphones on, and I was listening to Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray.
I missed probably the first 6 minutes of the show, and so I didn't hear Jim Murray say that he hadn't watched the game, but he did. He said he hadn't watched the game the night before.
He went out with his wife, I think. He went out to eat.
Okay. Yeah. That has some people very upset.
Well, has eight
when I say a person. I say some people, I would like to point out one in particular.
Mm.
Tom Caron of Nesson was not happy with Mr. Murray. It set off Murray for 3 hours, which was wildly entertaining, I want to let you know.
How many hours do you think Murray slept all weekend?
After that?
Yeah.
Zero.
I agree. It's great.
Just sitting there in a chair.
Oh, man.
Rocking back and forth with rage.
Mm.
That's what I think he was doing the rest of the weekend.
Hide the glass, lock your keys.
Tom Caron tweeted right after that, sometime in the, I don't know, first 15, 20 minutes of the program. He said, I am a big Jim Murray fan.
I'd like to clarify this, that I am a big Jim Murray fan.
So is Tom Caron.
Driving around, first of all, I'm not listening to the station that carries the game. I'm listening to 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Isn't that something?
Very nice of him to be listening.
He says, to come on this morning and say he didn't watch any of last night's Red Sox game, the first game played by one of the big four teams in town.
It's a troop move.
In the last 4 months is a joke.
I respect the move.
Okay.
I mean,
I would say there was nothing wrong with the tweet up until this point.
This is where it went bad.
He writes, is a joke, be better at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did that mean be better as a station or be better as a person? Who's supposed to be better, the Sports Hub or the host?
I think the station. I think it's
and
like
he just had to tag that.
It's like tattling on the individual to the employer. Like, I'm not just going to tweet at you and say. The other thing is the tweeting out and not tweeting at the person. Like, he could have tweeted at Jim Murray and been like, Jim, you should have watched the game.
He did say that. Didn't he at Big Jim Murray?
He added him.
Okay.
But it's instead of, he doesn't directly sort of address him.
Words before the at.
Right.
Which means it goes to everybody, right?
I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, this, you know, and he could have just tweeted at him and said, Big Jim, I wholeheartedly disagree with you not watching the game last night. I'd expect you to watch.
I know. He just said we're going to put it under
the bus. Here's what I would say. I have no issue with Tom Caron whatsoever.
No, I like Tom.
I like Tom.
That's good.
I just want to put that out there. I got no issue with him whatsoever.
Wait for game.
His tweet was a little douchey, though.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Well, and what do you think Murray's going to do with that?
And you know what? It's he just loses his mind. Little douchey there.
I texted Murray.
Hey, listen, we do plenty of Nesson ripping.
Oh,
so I don't
of
have
course.
An issue with you ripping the station at all.
No.
I rip Nesson all the time.
Yeah.
We have all kinds of complaints about Nesson.
Oh, my God.
Nesson, get rid of your damn ticker at the bottom of the screen.
Right.
And by the way, is the ticker growing? I think they've got a big ticker over there, if you haven't noticed. It's wider than it typically is.
Well, everybody wants a bigger ticker.
Of course you do.
Right.
Except the fans at home.
I can't remember.
I don't need your big ticker all over the screen.
Right.
It's getting bigger. I'm not kidding. It's more space on the screen than I think it's ever been.
Right.
They redesigned it. But Jim Murray, for 3 straight hours, couldn't let it go.
No.
And as a listener, whether you
gold
agree with Murray, agree with Tom Caron, I don't care. It was amazing.
I want to know the rating for the program.
Oh, my God.
I mean, everybody. You texted me. I wanted that.
I'm like,
oh God.
So it's amazing. You got to listen to Jim. He's losing his mind. It's the greatest bleep ever.
And then once Baltimore or Gargamel, I mean, Adam Jones got a hold of it. He took it to another level. And Jones.
And then you basically
you
have.
You evil son of a bitch, you. You evil son of a bitch. You're a national treasure, man, because yeah, he had to get on it. He had to piggyback it. And Jones came up one of the greatest nicknames ever.
Tom Caron. Caron spelled K-A-R-E-N.
He can't top that. That ain't going away.
Speaking of Nesson, how do you think they did with the crowd noise over the weekend?
I know you guys had issues with it because you watched. I remember you guys were talking about it during one of the scrimmages, right?
Because yeah, I think it's gotten better. The more they do I think the better they're getting.
I didn't have a problem with it.
I still don't understand. I don't fully understand who controls it.
It's got to be hard to do.
But I'm pretty sure it's the TV end.
I think it'll get better as they go. But I think I know this. I need it. I need it to watch baseball.
I like the murmur, the soft crowd noise.
And you get the run score. And you get that hum.
Here's the problem with the cheering. The cheering is, at least on Nesson, local broadcast, because I have another comment that I want to make about this. The cheering is sort of the same cheer for everything.
You're not going to.
It's just a volume thing.
You're going to have a visceral cheer. You're going to have a nasty one.
If there's a cheer, it's the same cheer, but it's like louder for a home run than it is like a double play.
It might be the stadium, though. I think that because aren't they doing cheering in the stadium as well?
They might be. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm not exactly clear on that.
Like the NBA, we had the Celtics yesterday, and we're getting the feed from Orlando, and that's all controlled. You can control the volume of it, but you can't control the content.
Here's a question I have. Are they turning down what's happening in the ballpark? Because I feel like they are, and you're still getting, you know, the swing, the crack of the bat or the ball hitting the mitt. But I also felt like at the end of the game, they had a pre-recorded track playing of Sweet Caroline, and then it was playing in the stadium too.
Did they really play that?
And not Sweet Caroline, Dirty Water at the end of the game, and it was like one over the other, and I'm like, is there a fake one and a real one playing right now? What's happening? What the hell's going on? So it's okay. It's not terrible. You get used to there being no fans in a matter of 10 minutes watching the game. It doesn't matter.
What I hate is not seeing the fans behind the catcher.
I'm going to tell you this. I watched some of the Fox broadcast of the Cubs game on Saturday. I checked in on that. They are way ahead of the local broadcasts on sound.
Joe Buck
wasn't doing the game.
He did one of them over the weekend, I thought.
We had two games on Fox. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. The Cubs game he didn't do.
Like a playoff game.
So
when Buck was the one I peeked in on when Buck was doing it.
They had something that I thought was so far ahead of anything else I've seen to this point.
Virtual?
There was like a swing and a miss on a strike two. Not a strikeout, but it was a swing and a miss, and the crowd had like an appropriate, like there was a cheer after that. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds real. That sounds like there is a full crowd there. Their crowd noise is ahead of the game.
Well, based on when we talked
about it with
Buck.
I mean, they obviously have more resources, but.
Yeah, Buck said this a long time ago when we were playing the audio of him saying, yeah, there's not going to be fans, and we're going to have that sound.
Yeah, Fox didn't. And they had virtual fans on wide shots in the bleachers, which I don't care for. I don't need that.
You don't need that.
I don't need that.
That's over the top. 3-0. We're in the bottom of the second, and Piscotty fouls it.
Yeah, not that. Whatever that is.
How about the virtual stuff, though? Did you see what they did at the Dodgers game, the virtual fans?
Yeah.
After the sixth or seventh inning, they like two-thirds of the fans left.
Oh, really?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Because the Dodgers fans always leave early.
I didn't notice that. That's pretty good.
It'd be great if they could get them dumping out. What do you got in your hand there?
This is addressed to Jim Louth, 55 Morrissey Boulevard, 98.5 The Sports Hub, 02125 Dorchester, Mass. This is not fully in the spirit of what we were asking for last week, but we'll accept it because it's the first thing to get to us.
Can we bet, predict what's inside it?
This is the start of the Jim Louth office unboxing.
Glass bong.
So,
pipe.
Zoe, I know you know what this is all about, but for those of you who didn't hear it last week, Jim Louth has an office with 36 shelves in it now. Those shelves are only 5.5 inches tall, so the max height of anything you can put on the shelf is 5.5 inches tall by how many inches wide did we say? It's about 24.
Well, we'll do this for the people at home. It was built to hold multiple CDs.
Compact discs. So. Yeah, these large compact disc cases. There's 36 of those shelves, 5.5 inches tall is the max. Yeah. We've had a number of things already brought our way by some people that work here, but now we're going to get to the fan mail. And this is the first item we've received, obviously because it's Amazon Prime and it could get here so quickly. We just did it at the end of last week.
Why don't we keep the middle area of Jim's office with that wall there for just the fans of Jim that send stuff in? And like our stuff could be on the sides.
Well, Hardy has already claimed a shelf right in the middle and filled it up.
Yeah, we need to get TV an updated picture because there's a lot more stuff on there.
I'll tell you what, I'll go get an updated photo and Jim will open this box next.
Nice.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We have tickets to give away, by the way.
Shut up.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while. We have tickets to a live sporting event. In New England. Probably thinking, what is
your
that?
Favorite New England team.
I'll tell you what it is. It's NASCAR.
Oh!
August 2nd happening
New Hampshire
at New Hampshire Motor Speedway up in Loudoun.
Oh, that's a party. Get up there, get the party.
This Sunday it's happening. We're going to give away tickets at 12:50. NASCAR tickets at 12:50. Let's get to the unboxing of what is an Amazon package. What'd you get there? Just one so far? There was nothing down in the mailroom?
5 pounds? Nope, nothing in the mailroom.
Okay. So again, 55 Morrissey Boulevard, Dorchester, 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's where you're going to send Jim his packages. I sent our folks at TV.
We'd like to make Jim's days even more complicated for him by just multiple boxes arriving daily for him to...
I think they'll be coming soon.
To open.
You know, I think there will be more
just
and more...
bombard him with stuff. It's like Portnoy on the unboxing. Shelves. Yeah. Portnoy did that unboxing.
Yeah,
I want a Louth unboxing.
This is a Louth office unboxing.
Yeah. And I looked at the face and I thought it was a Hillary Clinton doll, but it looks like it's a Steven Tyler doll.
It's a Funko Pop is what you have there. That's what that is. That
Pop Rocks?
Like you would get that at a... what's the name of that record place?
A Newberry Comics.
Yep. Yeah, Newberry Comics.
That's like all they sell now.
Yeah.
I went into a Newberry Comics for maybe 2 years ago was the last time I was in one of those stores, and they had a million of those.
Yeah, like E.T. in there, too. Yeah.
Does that not look like Hillary Clinton?
Who is it? Who is
it
of?
Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler.
Wow, it looks like Hillary Clinton.
A Steven Tyler Funko Pop is the first item Jim receives for the shelf. Random. It has a Boston tie-in, Makona's thing over there.
The low bar, that's what I'm going
to
say.
Low bar.
But somebody took the effort to do that. We appreciate that.
They spent money on it, which we're not really. We don't need you to spend money on.
We want you to go in your basement.
We
and
want
find
you
crap.
To find junk in your basement.
Yeah, just random stuff.
Yeah,
you know, like when you're cutting your grass and you find a baseball under the tree and it's been like been there for like 6 years, like a midget league baseball.
Well, preferably, it would have some sort of memorabilia value, but no actual monetary value. Does that make sense?
Keychains.
For example, Sean Silver brought in a Mike Greenwell baseball.
Okay,
it looks great.
Yeah, Hardy brought in a cassette tape of Cliff and Rob, his high school radio show.
That's nice.
He also brought in a 1986 Red Sox World Champions patch. We're not sure where that came from, considering the Mets were the world champions in 1986. But he had one.
I should get the Channel 4 to send the original cassette of Games on 4 for Jay.
Games on
he
4.
Can play that when he wants. Yeah.
Games on 4.
Yeah.
It did come with a note.
What's the note say?
Hope you love this gift of Steven Tyler as a woman, apparently, from your loyal listener, Nate.
Thank you, Nate.
Thank you, Nate.
That's not weird, Nate. Like, hey, what's up? It's Nate. You know?
Oh, Big Nate?
What is up? Yeah. It's probably Big Nate on a podcast. He's making so much money on that podcast now.
Big Nate's Big Nate Talk Sports.
You spent some time with former intern yesterday.
I did.
Like, he just like, bam, there he is.
He just showed up.
Wow.
McCall could probably drum up something from my childhood at Channel 10. I can definitely get you something.
What do you think?
Signed photo of like Patrice Wood or something like that. You want that, Jim?
Well, Frank Carpano.
I can get you a Carpano autograph.
Frank Carpano shoe polish.
Bobblehead.
This seems like a good time to tell the story that we did not get to last week.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Jim was driving around in his car with his son.
James Lott IV.
And we got off his baseball game.
He had his baseball game. We get in the car, and I was texting Tim earlier in the day. And I, you know, can you come in today? Can you come in tomorrow? Do middays, whatever.
Sure.
So I got the reply after the baseball game. My phone's on the dashboard. I pull it up, and my son just yells, "You text with Tim McCone?"
Come on.
I'm not doing this.
Come on.
He did.
He loves it.
He's like, really?
You text with Tim McCone? He's like, you're really popular, huh?
Tim McCone is a big deal to Jim's son.
Do you know that similarly?
Because he watches McCone on TV down there, and he thinks, therefore, McCone being on the local news in Rhode Island, that that's a really big deal for his son. Not to mention that his own dad's on TV. I mean, it just was.
Beat him. In McCone's own words, low bar.
Yeah, low bar.
That's true.
So my sister comes up for a game every year, and she brings her two sons, Tyler and Dylan. Dylan's the oldest one.
Yeah.
And we've been around the players. We've had them down around the field, and you know, it's Brady and these guys. There's Edelman shaking hands with these guys. Brandon Bolden, when he played for Miami, came over, said hi to the kids.
Oh, I remember.
Then we got upstairs, and Dylan goes, "When do we get to see Bob Sosie? That's all I care about." Like, and then I'll be in an away game. Hey, are you rooming next to Bob Sosie? Right next. I'm like, he's right next, and I'm beating on the door. Bob, open the door. I'm on FaceTime with the nephews. Enamored with Bob Sosie. Like, loves Bob Sosie. Like, that's what he comes here for. Wants to see
Not
Bob
Tom Sosie. Brady, not Julian
Not Edelman. Edelman, none of these players. None of this, none of that.
No, Bob Sosie.
Bob Sosie.
I remember that last season. That was very funny.
He loves him. Bob's a good guy.
Big Sosie fan.
Bob's like, hello there, Dylan. Good to see you, my friend. Yep. Get ready for the game.
We have an updated photo.
Oh,
shelving.
There it is.
If you want to take a look there. Updated photo.
It's those three balls.
If you look in the middle shelf has a, we'll call it a placard, which says the items on that shelf are generously on loan from the Poole family of Canton, Massachusetts.
I have a Hooters coffee cup at home. I'm going to bring it in for Jim tomorrow.
So the three balls are the Zolak and Bertrand golf balls, personally, the little stamped golf balls with the logo that Muffin Ass gave us as a Christmas gift when he was interning.
Another intern. The green wall ball is up the top left. Is that a hockey puck? I didn't even notice that.
It's a pin. A Patriots versus Packers 1996.
Oh, okay, right.
The Super Bowl 31
that's
pin.
Right, that's right. Oh. Yep.
That's nice.
It's really nice.
Mm. It's getting there.
Generous.
I'll fill that thing up for you, Jim.
And now we're going to add the Steven Tyler Funko Pop. Right on there. Will the box fit, or is it going to have to be taken out?
No.
Yeah, it has to be taken out of the box.
Taken out of the box, yeah.
It'll be removed.
Is this
going to
bother you when this whole thing gets filled up? Or that's going to be kind of cool. It'll be like a museum in there.
It's going to be great. I could.
You guys each get a shelf, though. I told Beetle wants a shelf. You get a shelf.
No, I want a whole section. I want a whole section, like one of the three. You know what? And when they bring them strange kids, you know how they have them field trips here once in a while?
Well,
they can take them in
that
now.
Won't be happening
no, I mean,
soon.
Like down the road.
In the future.
Hey, you guys really want to see the good stuff, and they can take them in Lyle's office.
It'll be part of the tour.
Yeah.
Maz will show this call screener, and then he will bring them down to Jim's office.
You guys want to see my locker? I have. You guys like protein?
The call screener is always an element of the field trip with Maz.
Yep. You guys take pictures? I like pictures.
Let's talk some football in this 11 o'clock hour.
Let's do it.
Will the Patriots be without one of their players due to an opt-out? We'll talk about that in 90 seconds. McCona's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
just heard Tim McCone say baseball is starting to cancel games tonight on their schedule due to COVID concerns and COVID positive tests. Carabas has a great question. Can we also retroactively cancel Saturday and Sunday's games? Asking on behalf of the Red Sox.
He's having a bad week.
Yeah, well, baseball's back, though. How long it remains back? Well, this week will be trying for baseball. Game's already canceled tonight. But it just highlights the concerns of playing sports right now, and that could mean that come NFL season, there will be players that are not on the field because they have chosen to opt out. Whether they are high risk, whether it is they don't want to take the risk, whatever it might be, they are not going to be out there. And according to Jim Murray, who we've already mentioned once today on the show, Jim Murray says that he expects Marcus Cannon to opt out before the season and that the Patriots will be without him once the season begins. What do you got on this? Anything?
I got nothing on this. I reached out to two people, no response, that I would trust.
That might be a confirmation.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just heard Tim McCone say baseball is starting to cancel games tonight on their schedule due to COVID concerns and COVID positive tests. Carabas has a great question. Can we also retroactively cancel Saturday and Sunday's games? Asking on behalf of the Red Sox.
He's having a bad week.
Yeah, well, baseball's back, though. How long it remains back? Well, this week will be trying for baseball. Game's already canceled tonight, but it just highlights the concerns of playing sports right now, and that could mean that come NFL season, there will be players that are not on the field because they have chosen to opt out. Whether they are high risk, whether it is they don't want to take the risk, whatever it might be, they are not going to be out there. And according to Jim Murray, who we've already mentioned once today on the show, Jim Murray says that he expects Marcus Cannon to opt out before the season and that the Patriots will be without him once the season begins. What do you got on this? Anything?
I got nothing on this. I reached out to two people, no response, that I would trust.
That might be a confirmation.
Yeah. I mean, take it whatever way you goes. Want.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just going to say nothing.
Well, it's concerning because you lose Dante Scarnecchia, right? And you franchise Joe Tooney. So you look at the franchise number with Tooney now. Is that a bad franchise if he's playing at the tackle position?
No, it's not a bad franchise to begin with.
It's not a franchise. I'm with you on this. I completely 100% agree with you on this. But it gives you some flexibility and versatility where you can kick Joe out. And he's played the position before. Played it in college. Had to play it when didn't he kick outside when what's his name went down? Somebody got hurt. Was it Wynn? And they just kicked Tooney out, I thought. So he's played it before. And I'm not saying, hey, it's gonna be a permanent thing. I do like to have Mason, Andrews, and Tooney together in the middle. That keeps everything solidified there. And I think that's where it all starts. You kinda, fan it out from there. But Marcus has fought, really hard to deal with his situation and overcoming that, and beating cancer there. But like you said, we don't know what the effects and how these people feel, especially people with compromised issues and health issues, and how they're going to feel 4 months from now if they do contract it. So I mean, if you're Marcus, it's like, hey, maybe you do tap out on this one. You know, with, you know, the back and forth with the league and players in the National Football League, starters speaking up, superstars saying, we don't feel protected enough to go back to camp. If they're feeling that, imagine what Marcus and what he went through and how he's feeling.
Well, it's also one of those things where a guy is near the maybe end of his career, where you start getting to that point where he's been what, in the league, what, 10 years now? Has he been around that long?
He's been around for a while, man. I mean, we've been through the Cam Flemings. You know.
He was in the Gronk McCourty draft, right?
Yeah. Okay, so that's 10 years. And
a lot of injuries.
I think
Nicks, cuts, bruises, they all add up.
You know, offensive linemen usually don't play 15 years.
It wears you down a little bit.
You know? Yeah. So maybe when you know you're in that back half, maybe back the final third of your career, whatever you want to call it, you start getting closer to a retirement and you think, do I want to come back for this?
I mean, he's seen Dante come and go twice.
Right. Right. I mean, what if you're near the end and you're on the fence about how much longer you want to play, and now this happens? And you say, you know what, maybe this is a good time to not play anymore. Maybe this is a good time to say, this is the signal to go home and be done. You know, and so maybe that impacts guys' decisions to say, I'm going to opt out. I'm not going to take part in this and delay the decision.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily say I'm done and I'm retired.
Well, it sucks losing your best tackle this quickly before the season starts. You know?
Right. I mean, you know, Zoe, you had guys you played with who have talked about, like, the passion for doing it sort of waning. The more you do it, you're like, ugh, you know, another year, right, another camp. Maybe he's just at that stage, and this makes it easier to say I'm going to opt out. But if he does, if he opts out, that's not good for this team. That's not great, because I think we've all talked about the Patriots having a offensive line that will allow them to run the ball better, that would protect better for wherever the quarterback is, investing in the offensive line, investing in Joe Tooney.
Questions to tight end.
We're all
going to be
things
lined up next to him, right?
Right.
I mean, look at last year when you're scrambling with Karras. You're just trying to patchwork things all year when David Andrews went down with the blood clot. And, you know, that's right in the middle of camp. And, you know, you're banking on Andrews being there. And that's like, that's where it all starts.
What does that mean we're looking at? Corey Cunningham? What does this mean?
Hey, what's it again? Get Newhouse back.
I mean,
Marshall Newhouse.
You remember, they had a tackle issue last year.
Yeah.
And
I think they still do have a tackle issue. I think there's still concerns with Wynn. People still want to see Wynn.
And now you've got two tackle issues then.
Right. And it's your best tackle, just potentially could retire.
They signed, who was the guy in the, Valdir? Remember, they tried to sign Valdir last summer, and he bailed on them?
On Valdez, yeah.
Yes, he didn't stick around. They were trying to sort of Band-Aid that thing at left tackle all last year.
Luminor, was that? Was he
Luminor, yeah. And then now you've got an issue on the other side. And win status, who
knows? This Kajus kid. What's he? Is he an interior outside guy? You know,
he's a tackle.
Tackle. I mean, they got a bunch of names there, but nobody's popping. You know? Who was the big freak, the 6'8" freak they had in, too? Was that last year?
That was Velti, right? Oh, no. That was the
the
he was
beard,
terrible.
Bald.
Dan Skipper.
Oh, Dan Skipper.
Skipper. The guy that Bedard loved. Like, Dan Skipper. Oh, Dan, he's a journeyman.
Right.
Dan
Skipper.
Dan Skipper
now, right?
He's a journeyman. That guy. It sucks if he's not there. Yeah. Like, oh, no. You know, and again, all of this is sort of with that thing that cloud that hangs over everything right now, which is, what's the season even look like? How does it impact everything that's going on when you're talking about playing during a pandemic?
So they start reporting tomorrow.
Yes, they do.
They're reporting groups. They're going to start their 2 days of COVID testing. Get that out of the way, and then the physicals come. Takes about 3 or 4 days, and then you slowly get into the, you know, training, and you're allowed to enter the building. The guys have been
and then
in
sit
the
around for basically 3 weeks, the way it looks on the schedule. We'll get to that in a bit. Here's one more to throw at you. I heard Jay Stu asking some questions about Edelman's knee. Edelman's knee. Something up with Julian Edelman's knee. We saw him in a video last week working out with Cam Newton.
Yeah, very short shorts. Yep.
Julian Edelman.
Hey, that's a good throw there. Maybe that could happen that way, you know? Like, maybe. You know, like, can't
wait. Wait.
Oh, really? Maybe? Nice.
Wait.
That's nice.
What was your issue with the video? That
I got a lot of issues with the videos.
So you thought Cam looked surprised at Edelman offering him a compliment? Is that what you're saying?
No, like, I don't know if Edelman thought, like, hey, like, maybe, I took it as, I think Edelman maybe expected the ball to be a little shorter or differently.
Okay.
I think he took him up, feel a little more. Julian taps the toes. He goes, hey, it's nice throw. It might happen that way. Like, maybe. I think maybe was the word he used.
Oh, he's trying to be nice.
We're going against air here. You know, I think Julian's used to making the break, and boom, ball be in there.
Ball's right on.
Don't take me all the way up and out. Like, I want to catch it and run. He's a catch and run guy. You know, he's a stick mover.
Well, he's also 34 years old.
Oh, he's 34 already.
He's 34 years old. He turned 34 in May.
Feels like he's 32.
He's not.
God, I wish he was 32.
He's 34.
He always seems to have some interesting issue pop up right before
yes.
camp. Whether it's a hand, knee, a foot.
So the J. Stu Moles, they're saying there's an issue with his knee.
Maybe.
You want to know Wes Welker's last year with the Patriots?
What, 31?
31. Doesn't it feel like he was older then than Edelman is now?
Oh, God,
you
yeah.
look up something
way,
else?
Way more.
Welker's not a good one. Look up Troy Brown's last year as a Patriot.
Oh, he was old, though.
Yeah.
Was he?
But he didn't play much, though. His last productive year was probably about the same age, right?
But those cliffs are big, man. The Troy Brown cliff and then the Welker cliff, those guys, you know, that toll caught up with those guys. You know what I think of Troy.
Oh, you know what? Troy actually had somewhat productive years right up until 35. Older than I thought.
He had played two positions.
He had 42. He had 43 catches when he was 35 years old. That's producing something for your team at that age.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the year they had no receivers, though.
Right.
Well, he had 39 the year before that in 2005. 2004, he was hurt that year. He had 17 catches. Yeah, his last big year, though, was at 31. He had 97 catches. The 97? 97 catches at 31, and then he sort of went south after that. But he hung around a long time.
Sure did. Get you in a Patriot Hall of Fame doing those things.
Absolutely.
Red jacket.
No doubt about it.
You know what's cool?
But yeah, Edelman's 34, so you think there might be something to that? Something to watch?
I think it's
Should we keep an eye on it?
I think there's something always to watch with him right before camp, whether it's a gear-up period or, you know, he's such balls to the walls when he works out that these type of things creep up on
All right,
him.
How would we write the story? Former Patriots star quarterback says.
Who's saying that?
The news. The news media.
Oh, you mean regarding me?
Yeah, they had a story.
Oh, no, I'm not a star.
They had a story on you that we're going to get to.
Well, there's your problem with the story to begin with.
Well, we're going to get to that story, though.
Yeah.
You are quoted as former Patriots star quarterback.
It's interesting.
Scott Zolak said.
It's funny since I said X, it, and I know I didn't say that. Right?
Said X, Y, and Z about Stidham versus Cam. We're going to get to that next segment. But for this one, I'd like to wrap it up and tie it with a bow.
Sure.
For those websites. So the answer is he always sort of has something pop up before camp. Is that what it is?
There always seems to be some sort of small issue with him right before camp, whether a hand, a foot, a knee, a test.
Test. I forgot about that one.
Sprain.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Keep an eye on that one too.
Do you want a quick item on the Marlins thing before we go?
Yes.
Just quickly.
This is what Major League Baseball having issues and canceling games tonight.
So 11 of 33. So that's a third of the team. Go ahead.
The Inquirer says that the Marlins found out they had three positive tests Sunday morning. They had a players only meeting to decide if they wanted to play Sunday's game. They played the game.
Played the game. More guys caught it.
The players decided if they were going
to
play the game?
Players only meeting to decide if they wanted to play the game.
So what's the meeting? Guys, we've got COVID here on the team. Should we go out and play today?
And that's what they did? Apparently, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Should that really be left up to the players?
No.
Absolutely not.
Shouldn't there be a protocol that covers that? Wait a minute. We spent 3 months
right. What the NFL saying.
Protocols.
That's what the NFL saying. Give us the numbers.
What happens if someone gets sick? How often do you get tested? If there's two or three players, what do we do that? And they just said, let's have a players-only meeting. Should we keep going?
That's what the guy from the Philadelphia Inquirer said. I said, I can't find that protocol in the 101-page manual.
Good. So he called out lack of the players' meeting protocol.
This feels like the one player in the Super Bowl with us in 96 got drunk and ended up sleeping at three strippers' house, and he missed a team photo. Parcells left with us. Take a vote. We send him back, or are we going to keep him?
No. I want to know if any management was involved. Do the players find out about their positive tests before management? Is that why?
Oh, it's certainly possible, because it's there.
That's a bad system.
That is, it's
somebody
a horrid
in charge
system.
Has to know. They don't have to know the names, but they should know if there's a positive test in their group to make a responsible decision for the group.
There's got
to
be protocol. There's no protocol.
Players only meeting. By the way,
shut the door. We're gonna whisper. So
hey,
they can't
guys,
hear.
We're all loaded up on COVID here. Should we still go on and play? Yeah, let's do it. All right.
Hey, Butch, how you feeling today? Teddy, how you feeling? Huh?
What is this?
You guys feel all right? You want to play? Jimmy's got COVID. He's not playing.
What's Dorn got for us today? Does he want to play today? Like, what?
Get in front of the ball,
hey,
Dorn.
Dorn. What the hell? They're going to get in trouble for that. Major League Baseball's going to be pissed that that happened.
Yeah, they might have to shut down the whole season.
All right.
In a non-contact sport.
Because they only thought it was three. It was actually 11.
That's in the mix. Zoe has had some time away. We want to know if his take on Stidham versus Cam has changed at all. And they are quoting you in the news media, Zoe, what you have to say or have you you've already said
that somebody told
about
me.
The battle between the QBs. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.